Our text comes from John 8:44 this morning. If you're a visitor here, we normally don't do topical sermons. We preach through books of the Bible. We are in the book of Matthew, but we're taking a break today, and I'm preaching a sermon, and I'm using John 8:44 as a springboard into a topic. So this is not an exegetical sermon. I want to make that clear. This is a topical sermon on abortion and life. And yet I'm going to use John 8:44 to help us think about abortion and life. And I hope even as we read, you'll see the relevance. John 8, verse 44, Jesus Christ, our Lord and God and King and Master, is speaking. And he says this to the Pharisees and Jews, "You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Father, we thank you that you make things so clear for us, God. We thank you that your word is so clear on what it means to be a murderer and to be of the devil and to be a liar. And Lord, we thank you that you show us what it is to flaunt your truth and to reject your son. And Father, we don't want to stand on the side of Satan. We don't want to stand on the side of demons. We don't want to stand on the side of liars and murderers. We want to stand with you, O God, so that on that last day, that final day, that great day where we will be judged for everything we've done, we will hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so, Father, we want to be well done concerning this matter, and we pray you would help us to think about this rightly. Father, we pray that you would keep us from unrighteous anger. We pray that you would help us to be humble and loving. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us today through your word and by the power of your spirit. We pray that you would save sinners. We thank you for the truth of that song that we sang, that you have knit us in the womb, that you've known us before we were born. Lord, that you made us in your image. Lord, that every sin is canceled and forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for that, Father. Give us ears to hear all that you would have us hear today. Help me, God. I need you. We need you. For Jesus' sake, amen. Dr. Albert Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, said this, "We," referring to the church or Christians, "have not invaded politics. Politics has invaded us." I want you to hear this because sometimes people say, "Aren't you supposed to keep politics out of church?" And my contention and Dr. Mohler's contention is no, politics has come to church. They are saying things that are absolutely an abomination to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so we must address them. Dr. Mohler again says, "We have not invaded politics. Politics has invaded us. Our convictions about the image of God and the sanctity of life and the definition of marriage and what it means to be a male and a female and what it means to look at a child, look at children and say, that's a boy and that's a girl. The government has invaded our turf." And so I don't understand the pastors who are not directly addressing these issues with their people. I don't believe abdicating that responsibility can be defined as faithfulness for pastors. In other words, speak up, Joseph. And so I will. I don't want to abdicate that responsibility and be an unfaithful pastor. I don't want to be a coward man. I don't want to be a coward pastor. I don't want to be the pastor of a coward church. Coward churches didn't speak up for Jews in Nazi Germany. And they got killed if they did. And the issue is the same. Not treating a Jew as a true human being. Coward churches didn't speak up for Africans during slavery in America when Africans weren't being treated like human beings. I don't want to be a coward like they were. And beloved, coward churches aren't speaking up for babies in the womb today in America. And the issue's the same. Jews not treated as human beings, Africans not treated as human beings, babies not treated as human beings. And I don't want us to be a coward church. You can find many coward churches that won't say a word about this. Not this week, not next week, not any week. You can go to one of those coward churches if you want. It's not here. Cowards, along with murderers, the sexually immoral, idolaters, and liars, will go to hell. Revelation 21:8. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Beloved, we don't want to be cowards. We don't want to be murderers. We don't want to be sexually immoral. And we don't want to be liars. And we don't want to, in any way, shape, or form, support that kind of wickedness. We want to trust, obey, and follow Jesus. Elizabeth Rundle Charles said about Martin Luther, it's Reformation Week. Thursday is Reformation Day, October 31st. We praise God for using Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr. This is Martin Luther the monk who was born in 1483, who stood up against the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church and helped us see in the Scripture again that a man is justified by faith alone in Christ alone, by grace alone, according to the Bible alone, for the glory of God alone. Now, Martin Luther King Jr., I love telling y'all this, was named after that Martin Luther. Did you know that? Michael King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s dad, he was Michael King, and Martin Luther King Jr. was born Michael King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dad was a pastor. He went to Germany and learned about this Martin Luther and came back and said, I'm changing my name and I'm changing my son's name to Martin Luther King and Martin Luther King Jr. So Elizabeth Rundle Charles is writing about that Martin Luther, that monk in 1483 when he was born. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Beloved, you need to know that there is a war by Satan on babies and children, and that is where the battle lies. And if I fail to preach Christ to that, then no matter however else I preach Christ, I am a coward. And we're not going to be cowards by God's grace. Abortion is the most evil injustice in the history of humanity. Do you want to talk about oppression, exploitation of the poor, and government-sanctioned brutality? There is nothing on earth right now that even comes close to perpetuating all of these evils like abortion. About 2,000 little babies are killed by abortion every single day in America alone. And I wanted to try to show a video of this, and I've shown some of you. I'll be sending it out on email this week, but it's an animated version of a true story of a technician that was helping a doctor perform an abortion. And you can watch the little baby's arm get pulled off, and you can see the little baby wiggle in pain as blood flows out of its arm and tries to get away from the clamps that are coming in the womb. And then the doctor pulls off the other arm, and the baby's wiggling in pain. And then the doctor pulls off the leg and pulls off the other leg. And finally, enough blood has seeped out of this poor little baby that it dies. And this technician runs out of the room and throws up. He vomits. And he says, I will never be a part of this again. That's what an abortion is. It's chopping this child up, chopping him up in pain and suffering. That's why we go to these places with signs like this, and we hold them up abortion chops up a child, you shall not murder, Jesus saves. I was there this Friday and I was walking to where we stand, and if you want to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus, do this ministry. Because as soon as I got in my car and I'm walking there, I get a finger and I get a profanity you and profanity your Jesus. Because Satan hates children. 2,000 little babies killed every day in America. Over 66 million babies have been slaughtered by abortion since 1973. Over 1.7 billion babies have been murdered since 1980 around the world. Dr. Andrew T. Walker, professor of Christian ethics at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, writes, worldwide, 73 million abortions occur per year. Worldwide, 60 million people die from other causes per year. That means we are killing more people through abortion than they are dying from other causes. Abortion remains the most significant human rights atrocity in human history, and nothing else comes close. Beloved, Planned Parenthood kills more black lives in 2 weeks than the KKK did in a century. Let me say that again. Planned Parenthood kills more black lives than the KKK killed in 100 years. If you claim to be a Christian and yet you consider yourself to be pro-choice, I hope and pray that you will listen today, repent, and trust in Jesus Christ alone by faith alone before you face Him on that great day of judgment, lest you hear Him say those most frightening words, "I never knew you, depart from me." Yes, we need to reckon with the fact that our churches are filled with people who are going to go to hell because they support the chopping up of innocent children. They sing praise songs. They claim to believe in Christ by faith alone. They pray. They do kind deeds. But they're going to go to hell because they support the chopping up of millions of babies. And I guarantee you, Jesus is not going to be silent about that on the day of judgment. There will be no mercy on that day. The pro-choice, pro-abortion position is one of the most wicked, evil, vile, godless, antichrist political positions in the history of mankind. What is worse than supporting the murder of millions of innocent children? I mean, look at me, Grace. Look at Malachi. Sometimes when I hold these little babies, I think of what these politicians want to do, rip them limb from limb. Pray that I don't get too angry during this sermon. What is worse than supporting the murder of millions of innocent children? Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you've supported abortion. Maybe you're here this morning and you've had an abortion. Maybe you're here this morning as a father and you help pay for an abortion. I want you to know right off the bat, there's grace and mercy for those who repent. We believe in a God who saves sinners. We believe in a God who saves sinners. I remember the first time I preached on this, a woman came up to me afterwards and said, "Pastor, I've had 6 abortions. Is it really murder?" Yes. Yes, ma'am. You've killed 6 of your own children. But if you repent, like if you call it what God calls it, in other words, there are people that hear me preach on this and they hem and haw. "Oh, he's being so judgmental. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, it's not really murder. Oh, it's just a clump of cells." Those people are going to go to hell. But the people who are cut to the heart and say, "Yes, that's what God's word says. Yes, I've murdered my children. Yes, I am a wicked, evil sinner, a murderer of my own seed. And I come to Jesus. And I confess my sins to Jesus. I call sin what it is. I call abortion what it is. And I come to Christ and believe on Him. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. There's no condemnation for you, no matter how many abortions you've had. If you agree with God that it's murder and you come to Christ and believe on Him, you are forgiven because Jesus came to save sinners. He didn't come for righteous people. He didn't come for self-righteous, churchy people. He came for sinners. And He died. He was chopped up on that cross. chopped to smithereens by the wrath of God and bore the hell of God, the curse of God that you and I deserve for our sins. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead, so that anyone, no matter what you've done, what's in your past, if you repent and believe in Jesus, you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Preach sin hard. Preach the holiness of God hard. Preach hell hard. Preach grace and love and mercy and the cross and Jesus and his death and resurrection hard. And you will enjoy salvation so much more. Abortion chops up a child. You shall not murder. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And so if that's you this morning, I invite you to confess your sins to God and be forgiven. And know God's promises for you that as far as the east is from the west, he has removed your transgressions from you. That he has cast your sins behind his back and remembers them no more. That though your sins are like scarlet, he makes them by his blood as white as snow. That's the good news of the gospel. Would you believe on him today? If you have not believed on him, we would love to speak with you. You can believe on him now. I will be here afterwards. Come and talk to me. There are other believers that you can speak to. We're going to have a Q&A after this sermon so that you can come and ask all the questions that you want about this and the gospel and about abortion. But come to Christ and believe on him, and he will save you. I was so encouraged by Pastor Derek Scudder's sermon last week about not being anxious, and his focus, his theme was God knows and God cares. And this is the same theme I'm going to use for this sermon, but it has a little bit different feel, doesn't it? God knows about the murder of the unborn, and God cares. And he's going to open up a can of whoop butt like you've never seen someday. God knows and God cares. Oh, he cares. And I'm trying to warn us. I'm trying to warn you for the sake of your soul that God knows and God cares. Point number one, how John 8:44 applies to abortion. In John 8:44, we see the demonic nature of murder and abortion. Look at verse 44 again of John chapter 8. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus here is communicating with the Jews and the Pharisees in John chapter 8. Look at John chapter 8, verse 13. The Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. The Pharisees, they're having this back and forth here. John 8, 22, the Jews said, he's talking to the Pharisees, the Jews. John 8, 48, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus is communicating here with the Jews, and he's communicating to them the reality of who he is in John chapter 8. John 8, 12, look at verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, 23 through 24, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Look at verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And then look at verses 56 through 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And so Jesus is communicating with the Jews, with the Pharisees, these religious leaders, and he's telling them who he is. He's the light of the world. He's the one you must follow and obey if you would see life. He's the one who is the great I Am of Exodus 3:14. He's God Almighty come in the flesh. And when they hear this, they want to kill him. The Jews and Pharisees hate Jesus, and they want to kill him. John 8:59, which we just read, after he says, before Abraham was, I am, this shows you he's talking about the fact that he's God, because what do they do in 59? So they picked up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him. John 8:37, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. Look at verse 40. Now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. They want to kill Jesus, and they would kill him again today. They would kill him again today. Because when people say Jesus is king, they say, you're at the wrong place. Oh, they would kill him again. These political people that people are cheering for and hoping in, they would kill your Jesus. They hate Jesus. They hate everything he stands for. They like a false Jesus at the liberal church that never says anything harsh or bad or doesn't speak the Bible. They make up their own Jesus. They love that Jesus, their pet Jesus. But they hate Jesus. The devil, what you need to see from this text is the devil is the king of murder and the king of lies, and he always has been, and those who seek to murder are his children, are the devil's children. We were at the clinic, we call it a clinic, abortion mill, the slaughterhouse. On Friday, Jay and I, and I was telling Jay about this reality that these people that support this, they are demonic. If you could see, like if God opened your eyes to see what's really there, you would see demonic activity. And as soon as I said that, this woman walked down the street with these little devil horns on her head. The devil is the king of murder and lies. He always has been, and those who seek to murder are his children. Listen to John 8:44 again with that context. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In Acts 3:15, the Jews were told, you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. The devil is the king of murder. He's the king of lies. He always has been, and those who seek to murder are his children. And so, beloved, wherever you see the murder of babies and so many lies about this particular matter, you see the devil at work. That's how I'm making the application from John 8:44 to abortion, is whenever you see the murder of babies, when you see people be willing to vote for and chop up that child, you're seeing the devil's work. And I want you to see this throughout Scripture. I want you to see this is an amazing reality that Satan hates children. Do you remember the first gospel, the first time the gospels mentioned that the seed of the woman would be in a war against the seed of the serpent? The seed. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, her babies. And we know there's an ultimate baby. There's an ultimate baby. They tried to kill him too. As soon as when he was born, they tried to kill him. There's this war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Beloved, think of the great salvations in the Old and New Testament. What's the great salvation in the Old Testament? The Exodus. What was happening in this oppressive nation of Egypt? They were killing babies. Do you think that's a coincidence? Exodus 1, 15 through 16. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. Satan loves to kill the children. He always has been a murderer. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he's murdering, even at that great salvation that God worked in Exodus, he's killing little babies. Because that's what Satan does. What about the great act of redemption? Or even before that, as you see the prophets over and over again sent by God to Israel to warn them of their rebellion, to warn them of their sin. What are they doing? What is Israel participating in? How has Satan blinded them? Jeremiah 32, 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech. Though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Beloved, abortion is modern day Molech worship, where parents are offering up their sons and daughters to the god of Molech, the god of convenience, the god of I can't ruin my life, the god of I can't afford it, the god of this and the god of that, the god of me. And so I'll kill my baby. And notice what God says about that. It did not even enter my mind that they should do that. Jeremiah says that three times. Beloved, there's one sin mentioned in the Bible that is the unthinkable sin to God. You've heard of the unpardonable sin? This is the unthinkable sin. Unthinkable to God. It's so bad, so wicked, so evil that God says it did not even enter my mind three times in the book of Jeremiah. And what is it? It's abortion. Offering sons and daughters to Molech. Because how could a mother or father who's been given this gift from God, a child, called to protect, nurture, and care for, then slaughter that child? That's unthinkable to God. It's unthinkable. What's the great act of redemption in the New Testament? The birth and life and death of Jesus. What happened at Jesus' birth? Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region who were 2 years old or under. Satan loves the murder of children. Satan loves the murder of children. Wherever you see the murder of babies, you see the devil's work. You see the devil's lies. But, beloved, I also want you to hear this. You see God's judgment as well. God knows and God cares and God will judge America for abortion. God will judge the United States for abortion. But you need to also understand that abortion is God's judgment. It is itself the judgment. Psalm 137, 8 through 9, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Abortion will be judged, and abortion is the judgment. To push for abortion in the United States and around the world is of the devil and full of lies. To be pro-choice is to be pro-murder. It's to be anti-Christ. It's to be pro-lying, and it's to be pro-Satan. And beloved, God knows and God cares. God knows and God cares. And that has a double meaning. For those of us who who hate abortion like God hates it, who stand against it, who would never support it in any way, shape, or form, that is a comforting phrase for you. God knows about this. He knows about your anguish. He knows about your prayers. He knows about your tears. He knows about your work for the unborn. He knows, and He cares, and He's going to vindicate you someday. And He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And yet for those who are on Satan's side, it's terrifying. God knows what's in your heart. God knows what you've done. God knows how you have supported this evil. And God cares. And God is going to come with judgment. And I want all of you here to be on the right side. To be on the right side when Jesus comes back. Of God knows and God cares. Point number two, abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. The Bible clearly and explicitly forbids murder. Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. Murder is the killing or taking of life of a human being unjustly. God gives life, and you do not have the right to take life. The Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that a baby in the womb is a human being. The Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that a child in the womb is a human being made in God's image and is known by God. Secondly, God is knitting the child together in the womb for His glory, the Bible tells us. And number three, life is life in the womb, such that if the child dies in the womb, a life is lost and the mother is thought of as a grave for the child. Listen to these scripture verses, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God says to Jeremiah. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Listen again to the text that Brother Howard read for us, Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed my inward parts. God is forming. God is doing this. God is forming my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there were none of them. And when Jeremiah is depressed and lamenting his birth, he says in Jeremiah 20:17, for he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. He did not kill me in the womb so that my mother would be my grave. Beloved, do you know the first person to rejoice at the Savior's conception was an unborn child? Did you know that? This baby, he squirms around, he leaps. And in Luke's gospel, we read that when pregnant Mary met pregnant Elizabeth, that there was some holy jumping in the womb going on. Luke 1:41-44, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby, and that word for baby in the Greek is the same word for babies outside the womb. The baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed be the fruit of your womb. And why is it that this is granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Beloved, they can leap for joy, and they can squirm in pain as the doctor cuts their head off. Satan's hidden it. We can read memoirs of Jews in the Holocaust. We can read their stories and read their anguish. We can read slave memoirs. That's one of the things that William Wilberforce used to help abolish the slave trade, is to show these narratives of the wickedness of the way people would treat other human beings in slave ships, and bring these slave ships so that they could smell the nastiness and see the human pain. But Satan gets craftier and craftier and craftier, and so he hides it so that these babies can't say anything. No memoirs can be written. Praise God, we have ultrasounds now, because we can begin to see these things. But the Bible forbids this. The Didache, meaning teaching, an early Christian document, writes, do not abort a fetus or kill a child that is born. Christians have always been champions of caring for children. The Bible not only teaches that abortion is murder, science shows us that life begins at conception. In one study, an overwhelming majority of biologists, 95%, even including pro-choice biologists, affirm that life begins at fertilization. Friends, your eyes show you that a baby is a baby in the womb. Mothers who had the babies in their womb squirming around, you know, ultrasounds now show us that a baby is a living baby in the womb. We have baby showers, not fetus showers. Mothers know that a baby is a baby in the womb. Abortion doctors know that they're killing babies. I've told you this story before, but one day when we were standing outside of the abortion mill in Alney to try to persuade parents not to kill their own children, when the abortion doctor himself came outside to speak with us and we told him abortion is murder, his response was that sometimes in certain situations the government gives us the right to murder others. And so killing these children is legal. He said if they changed the laws and killing them became illegal, he would stop. Well, Mr. Doctor, slavery in America was also legal. But that didn't make it right. You know that, right? Just because the government makes something legal, it doesn't make it right. Like abortion is evil and slavery is evil, we should reject it. Everyone who names the name of Christ should reject it. If we were talking about five-year-olds, no one would be pro-choice. No one would ever conceive of voting for a political candidate who supports the murder of five-year-olds. According to the Bible, a child being knit together in the womb is just as much made in God's image as a five-year-old. But Satan has blinded the eyes of so many and hidden and erased the humanity of children in the womb so well that it's become acceptable to support their murder. Get behind me, Satan. May God open people's eyes to the truth, because God knows and God cares. Point number three is answering objections. I want to answer some objections. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. We hear that, don't we? Beloved, do you know how to answer these objections? I was so proud of Jay Friday because he got one of these and he knocked it out of the park. My body, my choice. Well, listen, did you know you can't do whatever you want with your body? Do you know there are tons of laws on the books of the United States of America that don't let you do what you want with your body? You do not have the right to do whatever you want with your body. There are laws that dictate what you can and cannot do with your body. You can't use your body to murder someone else's body. You can't use your body to harm someone else. You can't use illegal drugs to harm your own body, according to the law. Plus, beloved, what we need to help people see is this is not her body. Her body doesn't have 20 toes and 20 fingers and 2 hearts and 2 brains and 2 heads and 2 arms and 2 legs. This is not her body. This is her body. This is not her body. This is another body. And she does not have the right to kill this body. Nobody should have the right to kill someone else's body. That also makes clear you can't take the position, oh, well, I'm against abortion personally, but let anybody else do what they want. I'm against murdering people personally, but if you want to murder people, go ahead. That's foolish. What about rape and incest? This is the one Jay hit out of the park. What about rape and incest? Rape and incest are wicked and evil. And they're like 1% of why abortions occur, but people always bring that up first. It's the most asked question I get when I stand in front of the abortion mill. What about rape and incest? Those who commit rape and incest should be punished to the full extent of the law. But what is rape? Rape is forcing your body's will on the will of another body. And that's exactly what abortion is. So two wrongs don't make a right. If a rapist rapes a woman and she gets pregnant, you don't punish the baby, the innocent baby who did nothing. You punish the rapist. It would be unjust to execute the baby. And so many people, there's a whole ministry of those who have been conceived by rape who are very glad that they're alive. And if the woman, the mom, can't deal with that trauma of raising a baby from rape, then she can give the baby up for adoption. We will adopt your baby. If you're raped and you get pregnant, we will adopt your baby. Michael Osborne will adopt your baby. And the reason I know that is one time we had a situation like that and I had two or three of y'all like him email me and say, we'll adopt the baby if they won't kill it. No, we don't kill a baby who's innocent because of what an evil rapist did. We kill him. We put him to death. Put the rapist to death. And yes, to be pro-death penalty is to be pro-life. Because God said in Genesis 9:6, if you shed the blood of man, by your blood shall you be shed. And life is so precious that if you take somebody's life, then you should lose yours. That's what God says. What about life of the mother being at risk? Well, first of all, don't trust the doctors to tell you this because they're so eager to tell you this. Get a second opinion. Think of Tim Tebow's mom who was told you could die if you had little Timmy. And she's like, I'll trust God, thank you. And she has Timmy and look what happened. We have Tim Tebow. I wish he got the Eagles. I wish he was on the Eagles. I know Jerry, he's not good at football, but he loves the Lord. Don't trust doctors on this. Doctors are too eager to tell women that your life's at risk. And you have to get the language here because some of the language of these bills is if it causes any health problems for the mom, then she has the right to kill her baby. That could mean I'm just a little bit anxious. And so the doctor will say, because you're just a little bit anxious for the health of the mother, we'll kill the baby. That is evil. That is evil. One United States doctor said in his 38 years of pediatric surgery, he never saw one instance of the mother's life being endangered by having the child. In other words, the Satanists use this talking point to lie to us to make us think abortion is more needed than it is. Satan is the father of lies. Do your research. Talk to Kate Evans. She's the expert on this. Talk to her about all this. And the wicked leftists, Satanists, they also call things that are abortion, they're not abortion. Premature delivery is not abortion. Ectopic pregnancy, where the egg is fertilized but in the fallopian tube, is not an abortion. Having a DNC, a dilation and curettage operation after a miscarriage is not an abortion. The babies are already dead. And so we have to do our research on this and know the truth because Satan is busy telling us lies. But Pastor, don't abortion bans put women's lives at risk? No. Abortion kills both mothers and their children. One story concerning this happened recently because of the election, and I want to read you this article by Samuel Say. Samuel Say is a trusted voice on these matters. He's a Ghanaian now living in Canada, and he writes on these matters. His blog is called Slow to Write, and he writes this. When Roe versus Wade was overturned in June 2022, Georgia's heartbeat law went into effect. The heartbeat law bans abortion after the preborn baby develops a heartbeat, which happens around 6 weeks into the pregnancy. Weeks later, in August 2022, a woman in Georgia named Amber Thurman wanted an abortion. She was a single mother to a six-year-old son and 9 weeks pregnant with twins. Since she couldn't have an abortion in Georgia, she drove 4 hours to a North Carolina abortion clinic. However, because of the clinic's busy schedule that day, they gave her a chemical abortion, the abortion pill, instead of a surgical abortion. A few days later, at her home in Georgia, Amber Thurman became severely ill. She vomited blood and passed out. Her boyfriend called for an ambulance, and she was sent to a hospital that evening. She was diagnosed with severe sepsis and died the next morning. 2 years later, Kamala Harris, abortion activists, and the media are blaming Amber Thurman's death on Georgia's pro-life bill and all Christians. Beloved, these are all lies from Satan. I want you to know that. A couple of days ago, MSNBC published an article. Beloved, let me just tell you this. If you listen to these media outlets all day long, all week, you need to know you're listening to a bunch of Satan's lies. And I get 1 hour to talk to you about the Bible. And I'm just saying this, please be in your Bible more. Be in your Bible more. Listen to Desiring God more. Listen to Paul Washer sermons and John MacArthur sermons more than you watch CNN and CSNBC and Fox News and all these news outlets. Be in your Bible. Know your Bible. Bleed Bible, not this nasty, wicked cultural stuff, because it's poisonous. A couple of days ago, MSNBC published an article saying if the Christian right had not had its way at the Supreme Court, Amber Nicole Thurman would be alive today. She would have been able to get the medical care she needed in 2022. The true crime is that Thurman's life was cut short because of ideologies who for 50 years trumpeted biblical values as they sought to make women pay for unwanted pregnancy, even with their lives. Those are lies from Satan. Are you discerning enough to know that? The author's hatred for Christianity is clouding her judgment. Amber Thurman didn't die because of Christians or Georgia's pro-life laws. She died because people like MSNBC refused to tell the truth about the abortion pill. The article said it was not Thurman's legal use of abortion pills that caused her to die. Deaths stemming from the use of abortion pills are exceedingly rare. But that is demonstrably false. Amber Thurman's cause of death is severe sepsis, a common side effect of mifepristone, the abortion pill. The MSNBC article admits that 35% of women who have died from the abortion pill in America develop sepsis before their death. A study by the Charlotte Lozier Institute says 20% of women who take the abortion pill experience adverse events that send them to the ER. And of the thousands of women in America who suffer these adverse events every year, 75% of them are listed as severe or critical cases. Before 2023, the abortion pill, mifepristone, had a black box warning that said, "Warning, serious and sometimes fatal infections or bleeding." Since Amber Thurman and her boyfriend didn't call 911 until several days after she took the abortion pill, and presumably several days into her adverse reactions, she apparently wasn't warned about the potential risk to her life. Democrats in the media claim doctors would have saved her life when she was finally admitted to the ER if it wasn't for a Georgia pro-life law. They say Georgia's pro-life law prevented doctors from performing a procedure, a D&C, to remove the remains of her children in her womb, a procedure that probably would have saved her life. But as Live Action explains in detail, the Democrats in media are lying. That procedure isn't illegal under Georgia's pro-life law since it isn't an abortion. A D&C is only unlawful if its primary intention is to kill the baby. In this instance, the babies were already dead because she had killed them. Since the procedure wouldn't have been abortive, it would have been legal. Also, the doctors haven't shared why they delayed the procedure. They didn't blame Georgia's pro-life law. Abortion activists, the media, and Kamala Harris didn't blame Georgia's pro-life law either until 2 years later, the week before an election. Amber Thurman didn't die because of Georgia's pro-life law. She didn't die because of pro-life Christians. She died from complications of the abortion pill given to her by the abortion industry. So the truth is, she died because of the abortion industry. Beloved, God knows, and God cares. My final point today, point number 4, to be pro-choice is to be pro-murder, anti-Christ, pro-lying, and pro-Satan. To support murder or anything else that is an abomination to God is itself an abomination to God, and it is behavior that reveals a heart that is not in submission to God or to His Word. To be pro-choice is to believe parents should have the right to pay doctors to execute their own children, to murder their own children. You cannot support that and be a Christian. God's word is very clear that murderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't be pro-murder and be a Christian. You can't be pro-homosexuality and be a Christian. You can't be pro-child molesting and be a Christian. You can't be pro-racism and be a Christian. You can't be pro-KKK and be a Christian. You can't be pro-police brutality and be a Christian. You can't be pro-love of money and greed and be a Christian. You can't be pro-oppression of the poor and be a Christian. You can't be pro-idolatry and be a Christian. You can't be pro-anything Jesus died to save and deliver His people from and think that you're a Christian. You can't be pro-anything God hates and think that you are actually born again and know God. And so what is our calling as followers of Jesus? Our calling is Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Our calling is Proverbs 31:8-9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. What should we do? We should pray. We should pray about this matter. We should pray personally about this matter. We should pray about this matter in prayer meetings. We have a fasting Wednesdays. Wednesdays pray and fast, where I encourage you to consider skipping at least one meal, the noon meal on Wednesday, and use that extra time to pray. And one of the issues I have us pray about is that God would abolish abortion in the world. Pray. Pray. We pray publicly when we go out to Einstein and stand out there. We're praying. I'm praying, God, save these people. Save pro-choice politicians and pro-choice parents and pro-choice doctors. Save them. Number two, we pray. Number two, we prepare. You need to know what you're talking about. You need to educate yourself. And this sermon is part of helping us try to do that. And I can give you literature to read. I have other things you can read to know what you're talking about in this matter. Number three, we want to preach. I'm going to keep preaching this every week before the election until it's abolished. Or God kills me. Or moves me away. I'm going to keep preaching on this every year. Because it's the greatest evil in the history of mankind. Give away literature. You speak to people about it. Use your social media, if you're on that, to tell people about this. We're going to protest this. We go to Einstein every single Friday morning. When I first came to this church, I'm like, something has got to happen every week. I want to be reminded of this evil every single week of my life, at least. Because they kill 2,000 every day. It's never in the press, never in the papers, unless they're supporting it. And so every Friday morning from 9 to 10 o'clock, we go out. Rob usually holds this sign, and I usually hold a sign like this. I have a sign that says, "You shall not murder," but I put it up on my front porch now so everybody can see it. And this one's going to be on my front porch until after the election, because I want everybody to know. I get these people come trying to get me to vote for a certain person. Now they just walk away. We don't do Satan in this house. We don't follow Satan in my house. We follow Jesus. Write letters. I write letters. I wrote letters to Obama. I wrote letters to Biden. I write letters to these pro-choice demonic leaders to call them to repent. Like John the Baptist said, it's not lawful for you to have her. You need to write letters. Write letters to Brendan Boyle, who supports this wickedness. Write letters to politicians who support this evil. Refuse to vote for pro-choice politicians. And it's this election's tough. I'm going to talk about Donald Trump a little bit, and I'm going to talk about Kamala Harris a little bit. Donald Trump is a disappointment on this issue. He's watered down the Republican Party platform in its pro-life stance. That's a disappointment. That's terrible. That's horrific. He says his administration will be great for women and their reproductive rights. Reproductive rights mean the right to kill your babies. Reproductive health care means the right to kill your babies. He's committed to no national abortion ban when that's exactly what he should be committed to if we want the blessing of God on this country. He says he will not block the access to the abortion pill. And beloved, you need to understand the abortion pill is the new thing to have abortions. You can just take them at home and kill your babies at home. You don't have to go out anywhere, and they're dangerous. But he says, I won't block that. That's fine. He wants to leave it to the states. Just let the states decide. And we see all these states having these elections and deciding for abortion. And so people like Trump see that and say, well, we've got to change or we won't win elections. And capitulate to the will of wicked, godless, bloodthirsty, demonic people. And he takes the side of Satan. But Kamala Harris is even worse. Kamala Harris is even worse than Donald Trump on this. If Trump is pro-choice, then Harris is pro-abortion. She wants to make Roe versus Wade the law of the land again with no limits on abortion, even in the ninth week. That's demonic. That's demonic. They had a Planned Parenthood medical bus outside of the Democratic National Convention performing abortions. At their convention, killing babies. That's demonic. She wants no religious exemptions for abortion. Do you know what that means? That means she wants to force Christian doctors who have convictions against this and make them perform abortions. In an interview with Hallie Jackson, Hallie Jackson asked, religious exemptions to abortion, for example, is that something you would consider? Harris responds, I don't think we should be making concessions when we are talking about fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body. So she will force people who have religious convictions against abortion to comply and have abortions. We won't comply. We will not comply. No king but Christ. And if these demons try to force this kind of thing on us, we will get louder about this for the glory of King Jesus. And we will not back down. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. She was speaking at a rally about her plans for more child murder, and pro-life activists shouted out, Christ is King! Jesus is Lord! And Harris immediately began to mock them. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. That's demonic. That's demonic. She had 10 abortion doctors come on stage at a rally to defend the wickedness of abortion. I agree with Dr. Al Mohler. A Harris-Walls administration would turn America into an abortion state. And so, beloved, we should protest. We don't support that kind of demonic activity. Number five, we should provide. We should give money. So we support AlphaCare. If you tied to this church, some of your money goes to help AlphaCare and help pregnancy centers and help these women who find themselves in crisis situations. That's another talking point of the demonic people that, oh, you just care about the baby inside the womb. You don't care about the baby outside the womb. Well, take this brochure. Where's my brochure? Take this and show them, no, actually we do care about children in and outside the womb. And we want to give and help with AlphaCare. We want to provide and help these people grow in Christ. We want to volunteer our time. If any of you are called to adopt a child, you can adopt children. We want to help single moms. We also want to pursue holiness. We want to be a people who reject sexual immorality. We want to be pure. Again, the iceberg under the water of abortion is sexual morality. So we want to be pure. We want to be pure people. No sex outside of marriage, right? We want to be holy people. In marriage, lots of sex. In marriage, you should be having sex with your wife and husband. At a men's group, I gave that as an assignment one time. You guys you haven't had sex with your wife in how long? Before you come back next week, have sex with your wife.
God loves sex. Sex is God's idea. We should be enjoying it to the max in marriage only. And we should celebrate that. No sex outside of marriage. Lots of sex in marriage. No adultery. No fornication. No divorce. Right? We want to be holy people and have lots of kids. The demons either have fake unions that can't have kids or they kill their kids. We Christians ought to be married and have tons of kids. And sooner or later, we'll have our say. So have some babies for the glory of King Jesus. Pursue holiness. Reject abortion-causing birth control. Beloved, I would warn you never to use chemical birth control, ladies. It's not good for you. And it can, that there's some research that indicates it can cause abortions. Again, talk to Sister Kate Evans. She's the expert. She's my expert on that. Reject the pro-choice mindset that children are a burden. Beloved, the Bible says children are a blessing. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them things. We have to have a biblical worldview of children. And pursue holiness. We have to do all of this in love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. We want to do everything in love. Love, first and foremost, for God and His glory. Love, secondly, for our Christian brothers and sisters. Love for the little babies. Love for the mommies and the daddies. Love. We want to do everything in love. And you can even pray in love toward these demonic forces and people and systems. Lord, save them or stop them. Do everything in love. God knows and God cares. Beloved, God will stop all abortion someday and cast all those who support it into the lake of fire forever. And so we want to warn people. We want to be faithful. And beloved, especially during this time of year, you need to hear Psalm 118, 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Our only hope is Jesus. And beloved, I just want to remind you, Jesus died to take away all of our sin. He died to take away our sin. He died to make us whole. He died to change our desires. He died to change our mindset on how we view love and marriage and sex and babies and abortion. He died to transform us so that we live for Him. Christ Jesus brought life from the womb. To be pro-choice will seal your doom. Supporting murder, death, and gloom, you'll go to hell. God's wrath will fume. Repent and turn to Christ the groom who died and rose up from the tomb. He'll save, give life, and make you bloom. So trust the Son. Prepare Him room. He'll dry your tears and grief consume all for His glory. Praise resume. Father, we thank You that You have not left us to wonder about this matter. We thank You that Your Word is so clear. God, we pray that we would read and know and understand. We pray that You would help us to rightly discern these matters. We pray we would live lives pleasing to You in this area of our lives by how we live and how we serve and how we vote and how we support or don't support. God, we beg You for wisdom. We beg You for guidance. We beg Your Holy Spirit to take control of us and guide us and lead us and help us to be fixed on Your Word and help us to love Christ and trust Christ and delight in Christ. Father, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who feels especially condemned today, Father, we pray that they would know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would know the truth that in Christ Jesus there is now no condemnation. Father, we pray that we would enjoy Your grace and Your mercy that tells us where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And that we would truly know deep down because of Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. And God, help us to live as those who have tasted of the grace of God. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.